It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and
conditions. 18+. Straw Hut Media.
How's that sound? Do I sound good?
I think you sound fantastic.
Oh, thank you, fiance.
It's weird.
Oh, I'm not wearing my ring.
Oh, what?
I got the headphones on now. I can't put the ring on.
We're past the point of no return.
We've gone too far.
Super, super, super grateful today.
Grateful, excited, blessed.
We're recording this episode on a Sunday.
Hallelujah.
The Lord's Day. Won't he do it?
Won't he do it?
And when you find out, and I always say when you find out, like, you don't already know who our guest is because you see the title.
Mm-hmm.
When you clicked on this, we're super excited about our guest today.
Yes.
She is a genuinely incredible human being.
Mm-hmm.
You might know her from her time as Shirley Bennett on NBC's Community, maybe as Dani in The Odd Couple on CBS, maybe Lady and the Tramp on Disney Plus. I don't know. She's literally everywhere. And I had the pleasure of working with her a few years ago on a major red carpet.
Yes.
The Golden Globes, and just absolutely fell in love with Yvette Nicole Brown. Confess your mess.
Whoop, whoop.
Yvette, thank you so much for being here. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. Thank you for having me.
You are just first and foremost, I think we connected over the Ohio of it all, and our listeners very much know that I'm from Ohio. I have a very love-hate relationship with my home state, but there's more love than hate. But you grew up in Cleveland, yeah?
I did. Born in East Cleveland and lived in East Cleveland, Warrensville, went to school in Akron, so I'm all Ohio.
Now, isn't Halle Berry from up there somewhere, too?
Yeah, Halle's from Bedford, which is maybe 15 minutes from Warrensville. So we both were kind of in the same suburbs in our high school years. She's a little older than me, so I wasn't there. She was like Miss America or Miss USA by the time I was still there when she was becoming famous. But yeah, she's from Ohio, too.
Wow. Also, the kid from Akron.
Oh, yeah.
The LeBron guy.
Yeah. Wait, oh, my gosh.
LeBron James.
This is wild. I've never seen LeBron play in person. And I've been a fan for so many years, obviously, as an Ohio native. And my sister saw him play in high school when he was playing for, was it St. Mary's, I think. Mm-hmm. And I actually got to go see him. My friend works for the Grammys. She's like, we have a box if you want to go to a Lakers game. So a couple of weeks ago, I finally got to go see him play. And they won. Which they haven't done a lot of this season. So that was kind of a moment.
I feel like my time might be off, but I do remember when I was in college, they were talking about a kid that was in high school or middle junior high was really great. And I think, it had to be LeBron because how would I be in college hearing about a kid that was amazing?
I think he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated when he was like 16 or 17.
Yeah.
So they were talking about him for a while.
Yeah. The math might be mathing incorrectly, but I think he was talking about him because I'm quite a bit older. So, yeah.
Listen, I was in college for 6.5 years. So if your college was anything like mine, there's a long range of time it could have happened.
Yeah.
Y'all are talking about sports in Ohio. Two things that I literally have no connection to, except when we go to Ohio to visit AJ's family. And that last trip was a doozy. Okay. First of all, we said this already, but we really are so excited to have you. One, because if you've never met Yvette in person, there is something about your spirit and your energy. And we'll get into a personal story later on in the pod and why I personally think it's great that we are reuniting. Because I think the last time I saw you was at Golden Globes.
It was.
In the little after party room or the little side room. But what is your, since it's a podcast about secrets, what's your relationship to secrets? Like, so when it comes to your friends, your close friends and family members in past relationships, are you the type of person that keeps a lot of secrets, or are you pretty open and forefront with, you know, who Yvette Nicole Brown really is?
I am actually an open book. I don't have a lot of secrets. I don't have a lot of skeletons. You know, who you see is who I am. The person that I am on Twitter and in this podcast is the same person I am if you meet me on the street. People that have known me my whole life, I'm just... I'm East Cleveland. I've always just been East Cleveland. In regards to secrets, though, I don't have any myself, but I'm a very good secret keeper. I am a vault.
Okay.
All of my friends know that if they need to talk to me about something, their stuff never ends up coming out of someone else's mouth. And even more than that, even if we stop being friends, I don't tell your stuff.
That's real.
Yeah, I'm not messy like that. Like, I really feel like even if the friendship doesn't survive, when you told me, we were tight. So you trusted me with it at a time when we were in each other's lives in a special way. And so I don't betray that stuff later.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, it's a good trait.
Hey, listen, I'm not going to toot my own horn, but I'm kind of the same way. Maybe it's a Midwestern thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, like, the other thing is, guys, karma's real. And so the stuff that you do, especially the hateful, nasty things you do to try to destroy people, it comes back. You don't have peace, and you don't really have the life that you could have if you were a more decent person. So I'm mindful of that. I want to have a good life. I want to live a good life. I want to be good to people, and I want to get my well done when I go on to see sweet Jesus. So
I'm trying to be decent.
My good and faithful servant.
But I'm similar. Like, I have exes who did me wrong, but it does not matter. I respected, you know, them enough and loved them enough during that period in my life for that season that I would never, ever reveal people's secrets. It's just not my vibe. I'll tell everything about myself, though.
He will tell everything about me and my life on this podcast, and I'll tap his leg. I'm like, that's enough.
Can I say something else? I was a little late getting on the pod because I wanted to get something. I'm going to show you what I wanted to get.
Oh my gosh, you still have it?
I still have it. This little sweetie pie was given to me by AJ. The first time we did the Golden Globes together was the day after my auntie had passed away. And I came to rehearsal, and this little nugget was waiting for me. And it is such, first of all, it's the softest thing I have ever been given in my life. But it's also, it was just, you know, we had never met. And like you heard in the, I think we sent emails around, and I was telling people, you know, I might not be in the best mood. I'm going to save it for the show, but I had a great loss. And you greeted me with this. And I just thought that was just so lovely. And so I didn't want to start our time together without giving my little nugget its moment with you guys. So yes, I kept it.
That just literally I'm kind of speechless.
Yeah.
I just remember seeing you post on social media, and I was getting ready to meet you the next day, and I just felt so deeply for you.
Yeah.
Loss is real, and grief is real.
Grief is real, man. And you know, we're in this business, and you got to show up. The show must go on. I was not going to leave all of you hanging because I was devastated. And so I compartmentalized, you know, my sadness, and I was like, I'm going to go to work and I'm going to do it. But this, I literally held on to this that night through the whole day. It was just with me. And it's so special to me. So I just wanted to make sure that he had his little moment. You say hi.
Well, I want to thank you for even acknowledging that, because we struggle sometimes. My narrative has always been, you know, I host these major red carpets. Mm-hmm. I've been doing them for years, and I'm always like the not famous guy that works with all the famous people.
Yeah.
So I take so much pride in what I do, and I know that I do it well, but I also know that everybody around me always has more followers or more, you know, they're actors, they're doing these things, and there's more notoriety. Mm-hmm. And so I've really struggled over the years to not get in my head, because I always try to go into every situation and meet every person for the first time and be genuine and open and honest and like just loving. And it's not always reciprocated. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's reciprocated in person. And you know this game. Mm-hmm. It's reciprocated in person. And the second you're not of value to somebody or working with somebody,
you better preach.
They're not going to respond to your text messages or DMs anymore. But you're one of those people that meeting you, it felt just like you're like the epitome of a human, like just a hug. Yeah. But also, you say what needs to be said.
Yeah.
So like, there's that balance there. And again, it's that Midwestern thing, I think, coming through.
Yeah.
And I just want to like just acknowledge that you even took the moment to do that, because you're an A-list celebrity and you have had a career like you are
a career that spans decades.
That part. And I've never, ever, ever heard a negative thing about you. Aww. Every person who's come in contact with you, if your name has ever come up, it's only the most beautiful things that have been said about you. So the fact that you would hold on to that, and by the way, I bought that thing at CVS.
Mm-hmm.
I was heading there, and yes, It wasn't some plush thing from some, like, wasn't Rodeo Drive. It wasn't from, you know, some fancy little, like, boutique store. I saw it, and I was like, she needs love. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And I found it, and I was like, oh, my God, it's so sweet and so cozy.
So soft.
And honestly, it was a unicorn, little unicorn thing, and had little rainbows on it. I was like, I was like, is this going to be too gay? Am I going to get, like, because there's that part of me, too, that I was like, is this okay? I don't know.
It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. And it's so perfect and so special to me that the reason it took me so long to get it is I put it high in my room because I have a dog now. And I was I was like, if Harley ever kills my little nugget, so I hide him high so Harley can't get him. And that's why I haven't put him down since we started talking, because if I put it on the floor, Harley will get him. So he's been right on my lap, and he's going to go back up high when we're done.
Listen, this podcast, and right now, and my life would be made. Thank you, Yvette.
Oh, my goodness.
You're so sweet. Before we get into some of our listener-submitted secrets, I know you brought a secret confession sort of story of your own that you're going to share at the end of the pod. This is not that moment.
Okay. Right.
To trust you with our messenger's secrets, because these listeners are from all over the world, and they want to get stuff off their chest.
Yep.
They want to reveal something. And they trust us. And so we need to know that we can trust you. I already know the answer to this, right? I know we can. But we start off every single episode with a mini secret, if you will. This is like more of a vice, a person, a habit that maybe isn't great for you, that you just have not been able to shake just yet. This is your mess, but yes.
Okay, I will give you two. Okay. The first one, and this may not even be a full secret, but I hoard, and I mean hoard, Lego sets.
Ooh.
A real problem. Like, for a while, I was doing them enough where I would I would donate them or keep them forever, right? But I've got a backlog now because I went through a period where I was like, I have to have one ready to go when I finish another one. So I just started buying them. You guys, I have 10 unopened Lego sets. And I mean, not like the little tiny ones. I'm talking about like the Disney castle and the, the grand piano and the Stranger Things. And they're like just stacked up. Now listen, I'm going to make them all and I'm going to enjoy making all of them. But right now, it's a show. So
wait, do you build them? And so you build the Lego sets, because I know you've done, obviously have done some, and then you have the unfinished ones. So you build them, and then when you build them, do you break them down and put them in the box, or you just are they just like, around
so,
your house?
So like, built? Some of them, like I built R2-D2, which was the toughest build I've ever done. And there's some I'm going to keep. I'll keep my Yoda. I'll keep all my Star Wars ones. I'll keep my Infinity War gauntlet. I'm a nerd, guys, so this is going to get rough. I will keep Sesame Street and Winnie the Pooh. I love stuff like that. But then like when I did like the Seinfeld set or the Friends set, I may not keep that. So I put those in jumbo Ziploc bags with the instructions, and I donate them so that other people that love Lego that don't get the chance to build, or maybe don't have the money to buy the sets, they can go to Goodwill and be like, oh my God, I get to build the Friends set. So I keep some and I share some, but you know, it's right now, it's bad.
Oh my goodness.
I remember taking my nephew years ago, and when we were kids, our one Aunt Shelley would say on our birthday, we would get, I think, $30 to go shopping. Mm-hmm. And that seemed like in the like early 90s, that's it was the most money you could ever match.
A lot of money.
So I remember being like, oh, I can like up it to like $50 for my nephews. And I'll start this tradition out here in Los Angeles. And I took my nephew and he went to buy a Lego set. And he's like, I want this. And it was $100. And I was
expensive.
Like, wait, what?
That's cheap.
And they want the complicated ones.
It this was a
Christmas,
small one.
What did they buy this Christmas? This Christmas, they got the Home Alone house.
The Home Alone house.
And we saw how many pieces you have.
I built that one. I built that one over Christmas.
Wait, so many pieces.
Have you been a Lego yet? Is there a Yvette Nicole Brown Lego? Has it ever happened?
There isn't a Lego of me, but there was a Lego of a black. Apparently, in one of the Minions movies, there was a black woman with curly hair. So I built the Lego of her, and I believe it's me. It's not me.
It's you.
But, it's, you know, it's a little brown curly haired Lego, little round Lego. So that's, I claim it as mine.
I love that.
Okay, wait. So what's the second one?
Yeah,
now?
You said you had two messages.
The second one is kind of in the same vein. I do not clean out the dishwasher when it's clean. So I end up taking dishes out of the dishwasher instead of taking dishes out of the cabinet.
What?
So I put them in the dishwasher and I clean them. I just never put them away.
Wait, but that's problematic because then, like, once you start accumulating the dirty dishes, you have nowhere to put them because you still have to clean dishes.
They're stacked up in the on one side of the sink. It's a mess. I eventually go through and do what I'm supposed to do, but it takes at least 2 or 3 days. And so for 2 or 3 days, it's also a shit show. So those are two.
Yeah, that one's literally a mess. Yeah, but yeah.
Literally she's gonna come over here and
she's gonna confess her mess.
But thankfully, all I drink is coffee. Like everything else I eat is like an order from, you know, Postmates. So it's really just like 6 coffee cups by the time I get to it.
What kind of coffee machine do you have?
I have a Keurig.
Okay. Yeah. We have a Keurig at work in my studio.
Yeah.
I got an espresso machine during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I thought I'd treat myself.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with it. And then I started gifting them to everybody I know. I just give them to people. Oh, it's like my favorite gift to give now is an espresso
machine.
My birthday's
in August.
Listen, I was about to say, she's like, I got my little nugget, but you want to give me an espresso machine?
He loves espresso too.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Listen, those were absolutely, I think you're the first guest we've had that gave 2 mess but yeses. So you just made history.
So you're extra messy also,
which
is great.
On the Confess Your Mess podcast. No, we're really excited. We have an amazing theme this episode. The theme for this episode for these secrets is actually secret fears. So on the Insta story, I asked you guys to tell me your secret fears. Partially because I have some that I've never like actually expressed out
it's
loud.
It's basically stuff he wants to talk about on the pod. So he
and I was like, we were talking about this because we like to sometimes come up with themes that we think will be good for particular guests. And I was like, I feel like Yvette would be the perfect person because she has so much wisdom and insight. And it could, I don't know what people submitted because Frank, if you don't know, if you've never listened to the pod, Frank, our producer, he gets all the secrets and they literally source and see which ones work for the podcast. And then we go through them and we see them for the first time.
And you strike us as fearless.
Yeah.
Like your career, you've taken on so many different roles and tasks and you seem to do it all with joy. Oh. And that is something that we aspire to as we continue to try to like evolve and push ourselves and also get back out into the world now that the pandemic is slowing down. Thank God.
Yes.
So we're gonna get into these secrets. Before we do that, we're going to take a quick commercial break and then come on back.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Confess Your Mess.
All right, welcome back to Confess Your Mess. We've got Yvette Nicole Brown this week. We're super, super grateful that she is here. Also, do want to remind you that if you want to get on the pod, if you have something you want to get off your chest, you have a confession to make, a secret to share, you can head over to confessyourmess.us and you can share anonymously. You can tell us as much or as little about yourself as you like. Mm-hmm. Also, voice notes are a lot of fun. We had a few of them on our last episode. So you can share voice notes if you want us to change your voice a little bit. We can do that.
Our episode with Willem, because we don't know when this is coming out. Remember?
Yeah, listen. Continuity. We've got so many great guests right now. It's just an overflow of abundance, and we are grateful for it all. But then also take some time if you're on Apple Podcast. You can rate us and write us a review, and you might get on our pod as our messenger of the week. Also, Spotify allows ratings now, too. So 5 stars everywhere. Please and thank you. Tell your friends and family.
All right.
Ready for this first secret?
I am so ready. Secret fear. Do you remember that person who submitted a couple weeks ago and they were like anonymous United States? And we were like, oh, so that's the whole country.
So anywhere. Anywhere.
So this one is anonymous Arizona. They said my biggest fear. Oh, and by the way, just again, I know I said secret fears, but when I said it, I said on the Insta story, I wanted to hear fears that you may have never like told anyone. Not just like a secret fear that like your friend, like something that
like I'm
really
afraid of snakes.
Right. Something. Are you?
I kind of am.
I didn't know that.
A little bit. I mean, I don't like them. I'm not like, I'm not going to run screaming, but I don't like them.
Okay, quick story before I get into this. Before I get into this secret. There was a little garden snake when I was growing up that was outside, and my dad saw it. He grabbed a hoe, and he literally chopped that snake to bits. My dad's a United Methodist pastor, and you know, snake is the devil and all that stuff. So I think he just took it like way too far. he was letting some aggression.
That's why they never let you play in your backyard.
Listen.
Your dad thought the devil lived there.
There was creeks back there and stuff.
He grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, and we went to his home a few years ago. And I, of course, I do what I do, and I'm trying to impress the parents. And as I'm in my bedroom downstairs in the basement, far away from everybody else, because, you know,
it's
God.
It's where the guest rooms are.
God. And so I'm like, what can I do? How can I help? And their awnings looked really like they're overflowing with leaves and stuff. So I got out a stepladder and started cleaning out their awnings. And his father, he was like, well, I have somebody I could call. I think he got a little bit embarrassed, but his mom wanted them done. So I was doing it. And then Emil tells me it's like 95 degrees and humid.
It was so hot.
We were there for Mother's Day in Atlanta. And she tells me that they have a lot of bugs that bite and sting down there. And that I should be careful because I had my hands just digging through all these leaves and these spoutings.
That's why I couldn't do it because I get bit by mosquitoes. I'm allergic to mosquitoes and they swell up and they... Anyway,
me
let's
too.
Get to these
Me
secrets.
Too. I have that too. Mosquito syndrome.
So you understand. Yep. So listen. He
convenient.
Over here, no, it's not convenient. It gets bad. It's aggressive. Okay. Anonymous Arizona. My biggest fear is to die. Oh my. So, okay. Let me keep reading. And it's a mistake and I'm not really dead. Oh, wait. Like the people who get buried and then come back for some reason and suffocate in their grave. Mm. Of course, they know because they moved the body many years later or something. I always tell my hubby to really make sure I'm dead or take out a vital organ or something so there is no way of coming back.
Whoa.
That's a very specific fear.
But death is a real fear for people.
Yeah.
And we've seen stories where somebody, you know, we did a story on my radio show a couple months ago where this woman was like, literally in the morgue and she was like knocking to get out. She like woke up. And that's of course everybody's hope. You know, you lose somebody, we've all experienced loss. And like the hope is that like, okay, maybe not. Like maybe they're fine. That's a real fear, I think.
Jeez. Yeah. What do you think of it?
I mean, I think it's not really that has a fear of dying in any way. She has a fear of being buried alive. That's what the fear really is. And Yes, that would suck. Like, I can't imagine anything worse than that. I don't know that her plan to have them take a vital organ out is right, though, because if she is still alive, that's going to kill her.
Probably not.
Double check the vitals.
Yeah, right. Why a vital organ? Right. Why not prick my finger?
Yeah,
maybe
I'll wake up. Smack me about the neck and face, something like that. But don't take out my lung to see
just
if I'm
to really make
it.
Sure. Hey,
what?
Well, I was going to say for me, and this is why I want to talk about this. That actually is one of my fears, but not the buried alive. I actually am processing, and I've realized that as I get older and as I see my parents get older, I actually do have a fear of death.
Mm.
And I've been struggling with this because, so there's a couple of things. Since you talked about being a nerd, the very first time I watched Doctor Strange, we were high in our bed, and that wasn't like on our top list of Marvel films. And it had been out for a year at that point, and we watched it. It messed me up. Mm. And I'll tell you why. Because we talk about the multiverse and the universe, and then I start thinking about, you know, how massive everything really is. And I start thinking about, like, you know, our purpose and who we are and how we were formed and how we were made. And then I think about my religious upbringing, being a pastor's son and, you know, God. And I just have all these questions. So then when I get into the afterlife and the thought of that, so basically what I'm saying is my brain goes a million places, and because God is God and because I am a human on this earth who only can process what I can process.
Yeah.
It's very hard for me to think about the concept of death and
time and space. And
yeah.
All of it.
And I want to say the finality of it, but then I am a believer. So I do believe that there's more after. So I'm constantly going through this wave of emotions.
Yeah. But I hope this helps you. The thing about death, because you guys know I just lost my mom in May. The thing about death that is freeing for me, and this is going to be morbid as hell, we all are going to die.
Yeah.
And that actually helped me even with my mother's passing. It's like, I can weep for her, and I did weep for her, and I cried, and it tore me up. But it's like, at the same time, then I might as well cry for everyone else I know that's still here. Because every single person has an appointed time that they're going to go to that great by and by, the upper room, everybody. Is going. So at what point do we move beyond the shock and the horror and the finality of that experience that's coming for all of us and just realize that since it's universal and since we don't know when the time is, maybe we're never supposed to be focused on that. Maybe what we're supposed to be focused on is this and what we do in this time and how we treat people in this time. Maybe God made it such a mystery so that we wouldn't lose brain cells trying to figure out the what and the why of it and just put it somewhere where it's over there. It's coming. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I do know that I have a podcast with my friends today at 1:30. I do know that I have to be back at work tomorrow. Like, there's certain things that we do know. There's certain things that we do understand. There's certain things that we can fathom. So I think God wants us to focus on those things. And that's also why, as a believer, you know this, God told us to focus on love. Everybody else be judging people and you ain't going to do this. And I don't got nothing to do with nobody to do with their life. All God told me to do is love his people. Love me, love God, and love his people. So he wants us to focus on the things that we can manage. If we just calm down, we can manage love. We can't manage death. We can't do nothing. Love, seeing people, feeling people, enjoying people, loving people, all of that we can do. And all of that is the easy stuff. So I would say, let your thoughts about that other stuff go. That stuff is going to take care of itself. It is just like we sitting here breathing. Ain't none of us thought about whether our lungs going to fill up or not. We're living our lives and our lungs are filling and exploring, inhaling, exhaling, inhaling. Heart is just beating. One day those things will stop. We don't know when. So why are we worried about what's just live your life and let your heart beat and the breath go in and out your body and love people.
Okay.
So real.
Take us to church. This is why we love you so much.
Yeah, I love you guys.
First and foremost, you called us your friends.
You are my friends. What are you talking about?
Warms my heart. No,
I know. You are my friends.
And also, when you shared this secret, my brain went to when Lauren Fenmore was buried alive on Young and the Restless in 1988. And I watched that with my mother and I thought, oh my God, this is the most terrifying thing ever. However, somebody did come and save her. I think it was Paul Williams, I believe. I watched the show religiously as a child. And then Yvette comes in here and just takes us to church. So,
But are you going to tell the people your secret about that you secretly wanted to be buried alive and then you went to some Halloween thing and okay, you and so, your sister...
Okay, so this did happen, actually. So,
and I did not go because I was like, that is not for me.
I low-key, high-key love horror films more than anything. My idol is Sidney Prescott, played by Neve Campbell.
That's right.
Scream is the greatest horror franchise of all time.
I haven't seen the most recent one, so don't spoil that.
It's so good.
So good.
It's on Paramount Plus now.
I saw it yesterday. I'm like, I got to get in there.
From the comfort of your... It's the best one since the first one.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, and I like the second and the fourth one a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. Third was a little bit weird, but this one's really great, so you should definitely check it out. It's scary, but it's actually really thoughtful. Mm-hmm. It's a love letter to Wes Craven, who's just I just adore. So I've always wanted, my dream is to be in a real life scenario, probably at a party at a house in the woods somewhere far away from anybody that could save you. And this situation actually happens. People are getting murdered around me, and I know that I would never die. I just know that I would survive it. I have instincts and I like make quick decisions. I know that about myself. And I want to feel like it's all real. I want to go through the terror of it all. And then the next morning, as the ambulances and the cops finally somehow just
wait,
now
but
get
this
there.
Isn't what you're supposed to be,
I know what you're getting at. I want to the next morning be told that it was all actually fake. Uh-huh. That it wasn't actually real and that I survived and everybody was just actors. That's like my dream. If somebody could do that for me and make that happen for me someday.
Have you ever seen the movie The Game? With Michael Douglas. Wait, you want that.
Yes.
That movie is terrifying.
That movie is terrifying.
So the closest I've gotten so far was a few years ago. My little sister, she came out here, I think was for her graduation present. We flew her out here. She was 18 years old, came out from Ohio for the first time by herself without the parents. And she stayed for a week. And during that time, there was, I think it was like the fall. It was like the fall after she graduated. And there was a thing called Halloween Horror Camp going on out at the old Griffith Zoo at Griffith Park in Los Angeles. And the old Griffith Zoo is interesting because it's up in the mountains and there's still like cages there that used to hold like lions and gorillas and all kinds of like large animals. But now you can like walk throughout them and they're kind of broke down, but they haven't really taken everything out, right? Mm-mm. Well, they had this horror camp set up there for one night, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people go out there. They have tents set up, hundreds of tents, and they have these things going on. They're showing like slasher films on like a big screen. You can lay out under the stars. And then they also have these people who are doing these terrifying things to you all night long, right? And she was so psyched about this. Like, she was so excited. One of them was that they dragged her out of our tent at like 2 a.m, my 18-year-old sister, and put her in the back of a truck, drove her to the other side of the zoo. And the whole time, I know it's fake, but I'm also like low-key scared for my sister. Nope. So I walk behind this slow driving truck the entire time just to look out for my sister, make sure she's fine. Got my phone on me. And they bury you alive.
Nope.
Temporarily. And then you have to solve some puzzle to get out.
Nope.
And she's never been happy in her life. Her reward for getting out was they gave her a fake severed head that she brought back into the tent, and then we like went back to sleep.
Let me tell you something. I don't know if people paid attention to me and Emil's face while you were telling that story. Me and Emil went into the universal black head. No, every black person listening or watching this podcast did like this.
Absolutely not. Like, I guarantee you, when you came back, I probably said how many black people were there, because there's no way.
Zero.
There's just no way.
It was a bunch of crazy white people.
I don't care how fake or orchestrated it is. Anyway, I just need you to tell that story, because I could never. I was like, the fact that people actually want to pretend to be buried alive, goodbye.
No way.
All right, great secret so far, but I think we should take a quick break, and then we've got a couple more when we come back. Mm-hmm.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Guess who's back?
Back again.
AJ's back.
Come on, tell a friend.
Oh!
Don't come for me, Ennis. Do not come for me.
We are here with Yvette Nicole Brown. So excited to be here.
Let's get back to it.
Oh, you guys will like this. This next one is Anonymous Ohio.
Oh.
Okay. Ohio. Mm-hmm. They said, I'm secretly afraid of flushing a toilet in public bathrooms. It's not a germ thing. I flush and run out of there. I'm perfectly fine with toilets in private bathrooms, though.
So what is the fear? That it's going to overflow and they're the one that did it?
Or that people are just going to hear it?
And then my follow-up question is, so if you're secretly afraid of doing that, that means you're not doing it. So when you have a number two, are you
somebody's
just leaving it in the
surprise
toilet
every time? No.
Maybe they just don't use public restrooms. You can do that. Like, you can train your body to, you know, not
me.
I mean,
I go anywhere all day every day.
Yeah, I need my own space. Like, thankfully, when I'm working, I have my own trailer. So if I have to do my business, I do my business in there. And if I'm flying, of course, you have no control over that. If you're flying cross country or something, at some point you have to use a bathroom. But I try to use public bathrooms as infrequently as possible.
See, I'm funny like that. I can literally like, pull a porta potty that's been sitting there for 3 months. No. I'm good. And I can just make it happen.
Absolutely.
I grew up, though, with a cousin and her father. Both of them could not physically go anywhere other than their home. And they could not go in their home when we were there. So we would have Thanksgiving there. They're like the rich family out of our family, right? The rich aunt and uncle.
Yeah.
And when people were in their home, they couldn't even use the restroom.
Interesting.
So people have interesting things when it comes to like bowel movements.
It used to be for me when I was younger growing up, if I traveled, even if it was to my grandparents' house or my aunts and uncles, I couldn't use the restroom there. Like, my body, I feel like it would block up. Mm-hmm. I could pee, but I couldn't do anything there. As soon as we got back to Atlanta in my house, everything's coming out. But when we went on vacation, I couldn't. Now, I don't know what the issue was, though, because when we went to Jamaica and stayed at a hotel or you went somewhere else and it was at a resort or something, I was fine. It was only when we were in like family members' homes.
Well, they know you.
Well, you need a you need a classy pool. You need a 5-star pool.
Did your mom bring poo-pourri for us? Your mom brought poo-pourri when she came and visited us.
Oh yeah.
Didn't you do something terrible to one of your aunts one time that she didn't talk to you for like a year?
Why you don't tell the business like that.
Right. What I tell you, man, he tells all my business on here.
He wants to share it.
It has to do with poo.
It doesn't. No, I did not. No, kind it doesn't. Have to do, okay, so let me tell you what happened. So freshman year of college. And keep in mind, I went to college on a scholarship in North Georgia. Mm-hmm. It was a sprinkle, not even a sprinkle. It was like of black people at my school.
And you were 17.
Yeah, I was 17.
You were young, right?
And I was on in my dorm on the main floor. I was still in the closet because I didn't come out of the closet until I moved out here. In the closet.
Until you met me.
My first time actually being around like people by myself, obviously, because it's college. And I just wanted to make friends. Majority of the people on my floor, except one other black guy on my floor, it was like all white. And then RA? Mm-hmm. Our RA was black, but he was like a senior. And he was a football player or basketball player, and he was very macho. And I was like, I'm gay. I don't know what to do. So I'm just trying to like blend in and find my own. So in doing that, I feel like I was trying to adapt to the ways of these people on my floor. And so there was one time we went mudding. I had never done that before. And it was an interesting experience. Also, I don't think I've ever shared this publicly on that trip. I didn't realize that the place where we were having our campground was in the middle of the woods. There was also a Confederate cemetery that they thought would be funny to go walk over to in the middle of the night. And I was like,
no,
I don't really find this humorous.
White people love cemeteries at night.
Yeah, but specifically, the Confederate part is what bothered me. Mm. And then there was this thing where when we were all hanging around playing NCAA or they play golfing games too, because some of them were kind of bougie whites, and they would fart, but it wouldn't be like in the like me farting next to AJ. It would be like I would get up and fart in front of AJ's face and we would all just laugh like it was a thing. So, you know, it was my first Christmas home since college, and I go to Louisiana, spend it with my family, and we unwrap the gifts and everything. And then all of a sudden, I feel one, and I think, and I, to this day, I don't know what possessed me to do this. To my Aunt Theris, who I love dearly, I decided to fart in her face. Mm-mm. As if it was funny.
Absolutely the disrespect.
Not. Absolutely not.
She did not talk to me for the rest of that time. Yeah. I had to leave her house. I want to say she didn't talk to me for almost a year.
You might not. Absolutely not. Don't do it to a black woman. Don't you do that to a black woman.
And I don't know what made me do that.
It's so out of character for him. He's such a gentleman and so kind, especially to his elders. There's such a level of respect. And when I first heard this story years ago, I was like, what on earth made you think you needed to fart on your poor Aunt Theris? I even called her aunt right now because of you.
And then my cousin, she has one daughter. Ohio. My cousin Shanice, she literally, she it was like poop, poop. So she would say that. So whenever I would come around, especially after everybody, like the whole family knew about it. So after the family got over and we moved on, we would randomly be sitting around watching Hallmark movies. This is like another Christmas, like the next year. And she'd be like, poop, poop. And I'm like, well, shut up. Shut up.
It's going to reopen the wound.
Okay. This next one is T, a.k.a. Boss Queen. I love that you put a.k.a. Boss Queen. Female South Africa. She says, my secret fear is being scammed online or someone hacking into my socials. I keep the same password for all my socials. Oh, that's a mistake.
Come on, girl.
Because I have a terrible memory, but sometimes I fear that it might just make it easier for someone to hack. Well, yes.
It does.
Duh.
Girl.
Do you keep the same
password? Girl, like, get you a little notepad and put it. This is another way you can do it, too, if you have a bad memory.
Okay.
You can... Oh, I don't know if I want to give this away because I tell people how to figure out my password. Let me think about it. Y'all, talk amongst yourselves. Let me figure out if I can find a way to share this.
You regroup for just a moment. I change my number sometimes. The number at the end, uh-huh. I'll change that word. Or my password will be the word I choose for the year.
Uh-huh.
So usually I don't really do New Year's resolutions, so I'll choose a word for the year.
Well, be careful. Like, do you ever post on New Year's my word is?
No. Well, one year my word was like faith. One mm-hmm. year, my word was believe. Mm-hmm. And I tried to find, one year it was integrity. Mm-hmm. And I tried to find a word to live by that year, to like remind myself to keep checking.
Okay, your
word
okay. Every year? AJ, no, don't say, he can't say it because he said he uses his password. But AJ, like how about months, this? Like this is something you could do, AJ. Once you mm-hmm. pick your word for the year and it's going to be your password, find it in another language.
Mm-hmm.
Find it in another language. Don't tell anybody what the language is. And then change some of the characters to be other things. So that's like change the I to like an exclamation point. So if it's faith, okay. you find the word faith in, you know, I don't know, some other language. And then change some of the letters to. So even if someone figures out your word, they won't know what language you're using it. They won't, you know.
I have two thoughts. One, that's really, really great advice. Mm-hmm. I also love that you could not think of another language on the entire planet right there. Just
you know why? Language. You know why I could not? Because there's a certain language I use for when I do what I just told you to do, and I didn't want to say it by chance, someone would know that that's the language that I use.
Interesting.
Love it. I'll choose Portuguese. I went to Portugal last year and I loved it.
Well, no, you can't tell the people.
You can't say it on the podcast. You can't say it on the podcast.
You gotta find something else.
So bad at
y'all are horrible with secrets.
I know. I know
you are.
Okay, so our final secret before we get to Yvette's secret is from Darren. Mel West Hollywood. Oh, I think I know who this is because I think you follow us.
Wait, oh, okay.
Okay, no, it's not anybody like we know personally, but just because the spelling of Darren, I recognize that. Okay, their secret just says Doritos.
I understand this.
You do?
What?
I do because I've shared, this is not my secret because I've shared this before. I use this secret when someone say two truths and a lie. I use this because no one believes that it's true, but it is true. I have an irrational fear of crumbs.
Oh,
so I don't know if this Doritos thing is in line with that, but like, and let me explain. My crumbs issue is like, you know, you go into a diner and they have a booth and maybe mm-hmm. the back of the booth and the seat of the booth don't meet and there's like a little space and yeah, there's mm-hmm. shit in the little hole, the little space. It makes me feel gross. Like, I feel like, is that skin cells? Is that food? Is that like, I just feel nasty. And so I can't sit there. I have to take like napkins or something and either sweep it out or cover. And I never look under the seat when I sit down in a restaurant. Like if I look down there and see a bunch of stuff, I can't do it.
Are you like Lisa Rinna takes antimicrobial wipes, like the disinfectant wipes when she gets on a plane or goes to a hotel?
I'm like that now. We all should be like that now. Like after Corona, I don't know how anybody's not wiping down their whole thing like a Silkwood shower wherever they go.
I will say this is wild, and I would never have thought of this, and I haven't thought of this in 20 some years until you just shared that story, which is what I love about this podcast. When I worked at the Cheesecake Factory in college in Columbus, Ohio,
which he tells every server,
Easton Town Center.
Anytime we go to Cheesecake Factory, you know I used to be a corporate.
I sure do. I say I was a DT. I was a district trainer. Uh-huh. I tell them that as if I'm going to get something free out of it, and I never do.
Never do.
But they bring me the side of the ranch for the sourdough bread or whatever every single time, and it's amazing. But at the Cheesecake Factory, one of our closing duties at the end of every single one of our shifts is to actually pull out the banquette cushions. And actually would disinfect it, wipe it, and clean it, and get rid of all the crumbs.
Oh.
So I say this to say, we do the dirty work so you don't have to. Yeah, so I'm saying, if there's a restaurant you want to go to, I will say Cheesecake Factory
is clean.
They keep it clean.
I thought that was going to end with you telling me how much gross stuff is. So I like how that ended because I leaned back and was preparing.
Okay, well, I'll gross you out now. Almost every restaurant I've worked at in my life, at some point we do like a deep clean like once a year, and it's always somebody's job to get like a metal scraper and scrape gum and like boogers off the bottoms of tables. Yeah.
People nasty. Just are nasty.
There's not
nasty.
Enough pay in the world.
Okay, really quick before we go to commercial break and come back with your secret. So the link that Frank sent me, this person on the internet, there's this website called isitnormal.com. And I guess there's a whole category of fears. So this person said, is it normal that my brother is terrified of Doritos? Said he's 12 years old and he's completely freaked out by anything with that kind of cheese. Cheetos, Doritos, etc. If I eat them, he won't hang out with me unless he watches me wash my hands twice with soap. At first, I thought it maybe he didn't want the orange cheese on his stuff, but he can't stand the smell of them and can't be in the same room as them. Once, and I will admit this was a bit mean,
I took out a Dorito and literally tried chasing him with it. And he ran away with tears in his eyes. I did it to see exactly how he would react. I don't understand. I love Doritos, especially when it has like, when it's like the dark orange. That's how you know it.
So we try not to judge here, Yvette. We try to, you know, have an open dialogue about these confessions. Mm-hmm. I guess my follow-up question would be this. Yeah. I'm not judging because the orangeness of the Dorito or the Cheeto or our former president, Donald J. Trump, all terrifies me. I get that, right?
Completely get that, yeah.
Are we also talking like Cool Ranch? Because Cool Ranch slaps in a different way.
I hate Cool Ranch.
What?
I
like
Cool Ranch.
Thank you.
How would you say these things?
So hey, Cool good. Ranch.
Yeah, I think the fact that it just says Doritos, I need more, but also we filled in the blanks. And
so here's my, okay, so now this is, we're going to circle back around, Yvette.
Yes.
Okay. You revealed to us earlier that you leave dirty dishes in your sink.
That is not what I revealed. That's not what I revealed. I revealed that I don't clean out my dishwasher and that I take clean dishes from the dishwasher.
So where does that dirty dish just throw out?
Yeah, but you're making it seem like the kitchen is just overrun with dishes. I told you it's like maybe 3-4 mugs, and then I can stop it. But this will not stay.
I'm just concerned. You're afraid of crumbs, but you're fine with dirty dishes in your sink. I don't know where the line is.
I see how this happens. So you took this and went down the road. That is not what I said. And listen, your friend is listening and not pleased. The Nugget is not pleased with the Nugget is judging you.
Nugget said, "Don't do that."
We gotta try our best to salvage this friendship really quickly. I think we need to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Yvette Nicole Brown's confession in just a moment. Confess your mess.
All right.
Are we regrouped?
We are regrouped and we are ready.
Apologies. I've apologized. Yeah. I'm so sorry for trying to drag you.
Did you apologize?
Like, I don't think you did, but you can. I'm listening. You're sorry for what?
I'm sorry for trying to drag you and to misrepresent.
Thank you.
You and your level of cleanliness.
Thank you very much.
I love the way that was worded. That was a very good apology.
Thank you very much.
I go to therapy.
Don't be putting lies out there about my cleanliness.
Hey, we're in couples therapy now before the wedding.
We just started.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was one of my things. I've been in therapy for a couple years. He started this last year. And I said, listen, we're getting closer and closer. We're getting married this summer.
No, I didn't say we had to give like a whole talk about it. I was just saying couples therapy. I want to hear her secret.
Request is that we just do a few sessions.
Yeah, okay.
We don't really have big problems. Just little ones every now and then that I don't want to get big. My dad's been married 4 times. Listen, I don't want to go down that road. I want to do it one time and that's
Amen.
It.
Amen. Same.
So the way God intended.
Amen. Right.
Two men in love with each other and married in holy sanctimony forever.
Love. All right. So we've been waiting for this moment. You've been waiting for this moment.
I'm curious because you're such an open book. I'm curious to see what you're going to share with us.
I don't have a lot of secrets, but go on.
It's okay.
It's time for you, Yvette Nicole Brown, to
confess your mess.
My secrets are not amazing, as you know, because I'm an open book. But I can kill any living plant in the world. I don't care if they say this is the one for you, Yvette. This one will last. I don't care if they give me directions for how to keep the doggone thing alive. It will die within 2 days of being with me.
Every single plant dies with me. Ready? Hold on. Okay, so look at this.
I have those strategically placed.
Look, those are fake plants pinned into a sponge because we killed so many sets of real plants.
Well, there you go. And I have a friend, and I won't say her name because I don't want her to know that I'm saying this because she's lovely. She, everything that goes on in my life, every celebration, every sadness, she sends me the most beautiful orchids. And I mean, these orchids are probably $200. I'm not even joking. Yeah. The orchids are sick. They all die within 2 days.
It doesn't matter if they say, just put 2 ice cubes in it.
It's a lie. It's still a lie. I do it exactly how they tell me to do it, and they always die. I've killed 3 orchids in the last year.
Listen, we relate to that secret so hard. I even have an app that's supposed to, you're supposed to, you're supposed to take a photo of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Still kill it.
I kill
every
it.
Time.
Every single time.
And it says, it's like, oh, for this particular plant, we literally, so we go to a place in West Hollywood, Hargitay.
It's Mariska Hargitay's brother owns the place in West Hollywood. And we go there and it's beautiful.
We get our plants and we're like, so this is the third pair, or we have three succulents that we kept trying to keep alive.
Every 6 months
I kill
succulents,
we go back. Too. I kill them. And they're supposed to be indestructible. Time.
Right. Absolutely, kill them.
Every single one died, and they're like, "So, what did you guys do?" We're like, "We don't know." So, after the third time of buying these succulents, we went to, or I was in Target one day randomly, and you know how Target is. You go in Target, and you always end up with things you did not intend on getting. Target, just in case, if you're in the LA area, I can't speak on everywhere, but in the LA area, Target has really invested in their artificial plant decor. They look good.
You're right. You can't tell. You can't tell that they're not real. I have
our kitchen, we have this window, and I have I have this long white ceramic box, and we keep putting succulents in it, and he found a long white ceramic box with fake succulents.
Target,
and it looks
had it.
Gorgeous.
And the sun hits it, and you see it. I'm like, oh, that brings me joy. I just love that it's alive. You don't see brown and dead.
I know. I'm telling you, I feel seen for the first time because I've never, I mean, I tell some people, don't give me living things in plant form. I can keep my dog's alive, my dad's alive, but you know, plants, no. So I feel seen that you guys are the same. They all die.
It's so relatable. Was your mother, or do you have aunts that had a green thumb? Was there a desire to try to keep plants alive?
I mean, no, my mother never really had a lot of plants. We didn't have a lot of plants in our, I should have probably asked her. Maybe she had a brown thumb too, but I want to be good at that. Like I want to be, you see those videos on TikTok and Instagram. These people are just so peaceful. They're misting the plants and pop into the plant and name the plants and their house is just beautiful. I can't.
Our friend Sinead has probably 100 plants in her house easily.
All alive, all thriving.
Gorgeous. And they're all different varieties too. And we found out early pandemic, we decided, we were reading the articles, we were like Lysoling our cereal before we bring it inside, right? Like we were all scared. And so we decided to improve the oxygen in our home
plants.
So that we could all fight COVID, we'd get real plants. And then we killed every single one.
Yeah. Same. We are the same. They all got
pro
here.
Tip, Home Depot will allow you to exchange a plant, no matter how dead it is, up to a year.
Yeah.
So we did that a couple of times.
We felt
so guilty because they just throw them out.
We did. And that was before, though, we stopped going there once we found out that they were Trump
supporters.
So then we stopped.
We go to Lowe's.
I go to Lowe's.
And then we stopped going to Lowe's. And we started supporting the local. But wherever you get your plants, just do what works for you. And just try to keep them alive. But again, if you don't have the thumb, you just don't have the thumb.
It is what it is.
Here's the thing. That was an amazing secret. And we love when it's a secret that people can relate to like us. Now, earlier in the podcast, we're almost done. But I said that I want to bring in the personal note. So if you remember at the beginning, I said the last time I saw you. And we all follow each other on social media and we all encourage each other and give support in ways that we can through socials. But the last time I saw you was Golden Globes 2019, I believe, maybe 2018. No, 2019, whenever it was. I was laid off from the company that I was working for, Clever. Our company had went under. And at the time I said that, you know, I was in a transition period and there was, you know, this other company that was looking to hire me. I had some big decisions to make and you gave me some advice. So what I'm working on personally in therapy, and I'm trying to quantify or figure out what this particular fear is. I don't know if I have a name for it. You're somebody who, like I said, your career spanned over decades and you have been in big, small, huge, just such a variety of projects, but you're always working. And, you know, for my actor friends, some of my very close friends who I know are listening, I know that Yvette Nicole Brown's career is something that you're probably looking up to. As a host, when it comes to, you know, hosting opportunities, especially over the last decade, it can be discouraging because the opportunities don't always seem as plentiful as it is for actors. Mm-hmm. And so for me and AJ, we're so proud of any success that we've achieved in our career and how far that we've gotten. But also we oftentimes feel like we're so close to because you know how it is. I always say with some people in this career, sometimes it just takes that one project mm-hmm. that really is the tipping point, right?
Yeah.
So the reason why it is kind of serendipitous that you came on this particular week, this is the week that you scheduled, is because right now I am up for a big project, and that project would be a tipping point. AJ knows that my struggle is, and what you said earlier really related. You
about
were talking
about present.
Yeah, you were talking about death, but it was really important. You were saying, you know, control what you can control and focus on the now. How do I not overthink and focus so much on, oh, if I get this, it will lead to this, and go 8 steps ahead? How do I? Because I was getting better at it. Of if you have an opportunity, letting it go and letting God be God and do what he needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, with this particular opportunity, I'm finding it more difficult to let it go. I'm very much invested.
Surprise, Yvette. This is therapy.
No, I love this. I love this. Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, you either believe God has your best interest in heart or you don't.
Mm.
Okay. So this is something everybody needs to settle in their brain once and for all. Either you believe that he is for you, and he loves you, and he has a plan for your life, Jeremiah 29:11, or you don't.
Yep.
Now, if you don't, then good luck. I don't know how you can even get up every morning and walk through this horrible existence that we're in if you don't believe that there is some reason personally for you that you're going through whatever you're personally going through, right? There's got to be something on the up. There's a reason, right? So if you believe that he's got your back and has something for you, then it almost doesn't matter if it's this opportunity or the next opportunity. Because yes. The bottom line is, ultimately, you're going to be okay. Ultimately, he has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. He has good things for you, ultimately. Now, we in our humanness, our humanity, the little bit of information we have, that place, our mortalness, we may say, no, it's this, doggone it. It's got to be this person, this house, this job, this plant, this has to be the thing that thrives. And that's us in our own little small minds trying to make sense of it. God sees the entire picture. He sees the totality of who you're going to be, the totality of the experience. He may know that a particular opportunity is going to mess your brain up so bad that you're going to jack up everything else in your life. He might think you're not mature enough to handle the fame and the fortune that would come from this particular opportunity at this time. And that's why he said no 5 years ago. Because he knows who you are. He knows your bits and pieces. He knows the best way for you to make it through this life. So if you understand that he loves you and he has a plan for you, then all you have to do is focus on what is in front of you and doing your absolute best every single day with what he gives you to do. I always say we are supposed to plant the seed and let the harvest be what the harvest is going to be. That's it. I can't control. I don't even know what seed I'm planting. I don't know if this is tomatoes or honeysuckle. I don't know what I'm putting in the ground. He told me to put the seed in and put some water on it. He told me somebody else is going to come by and fertilize it. Right?
Yep.
And when in due season, when it's time, whatever I put sowed in there is going to, I'm going to reap it. But I can't be worried about whether it's going to be a tomato plant or not. I can't do that. I got to just put the seed in the ground and keep moving. And the whole point is to be always planting enough seeds, and not just in career. You plant seeds in your relationship with your fiance. You plant seeds at your job. You plant seeds with your neighbor. You plant seeds with your family members. You plant seed in your own self-growth and love. You just every day plant seeds. And guess what? When you're 10 days down the road, the seed you planted 10 days ago will spring up. So then you always have a beautiful flower or tomato plant to tend to. And it keeps you busy.
What's the hardest gig that you've really wanted that you did not get, that you've had to learn to get over throughout your career? Is there one thing that you're like, oh, that was difficult, but then you understand now why it didn't happen?
You know, it's so funny. There's not even one. It's every single one. Like every single one that I don't get, I can't even be sad about it too long, because within a week or so, something else will come. And had I said yes or was able to do that, I wouldn't have been able to do what this is. Or it'll show a pilot for a sitcom or something I want. Oh, I really wanted that show. The show don't even get picked up. Mm-hmm. So I'd have been putting all of my eggs in that basket. And then I would have been heartbroken because this great gift didn't happen. The problem we make, you guys, is that we start to, You can't count your chips or your money or your opportunities before you have them. We can, you can't take that run down the meadow going, I'm gonna get my car. This, I'm gonna do this. Don't do it to yourself. Do not do it to yourself. Stay in today. If you have a great interview or audition for that gig a meal and you killed it and you know you did a great job, then that means either you're going to get that job or you made fans in that room that will lead to another job.
That part. I have to tell you,
that's it.
Proud fiance. He had this meeting, his first meeting with them. He's had a few, but his first big one with them was over Zoom. And I sat in the hallway at one point just hearing him. And I like, it tears my ass. I was like, that's my man. That's my man. It does not matter right now if he gets this gig.
It doesn't.
Because this entire team is going to see him and they're going to show him to the network and they're going to show him to the other casting team and they're all going to fall in love with him.
Right.
So he might get 5 gigs out of this over the course of his entire career.
Exactly.
Even if he gets this one or not.
And his name will remain on their lips. That's the thing. Like what you want are fans. You want to deploy fans out into the world to talk about you. Right.
Yeah.
So it's not about, so you're in a Zoom with 20 people. Each of those 20 people can go into 20 more Zooms and go, I just met the most amazing man. Y'all heard about Emil? You know what I'm saying? So meanwhile, you don't get the job. You, I'm believing you get it, but I'm saying if you don't, if you were not to get that job, you somewhere in fetal position crying about that job. And it's 17 more jobs and opportunities about to come a month from now that you don't even know about. That's why we can't stay. We can't stay in the darkness. You can't stay in the spot of loss. You have to acknowledge it, do your little bit of grieving, and then get up, pick up your seeds, and start planting again. That's it. So I'm going to say to you, don't worry about the outcome of this. Do your best and know that what is right for you will come. It'll either be this job or another job.
Do you still get hopeful? Do you still allow yourself to like dream of things that maybe you have thought that should have happened by this point in your career? Do you still think of like that Academy Award moment or that Emmy moment, or like what is your big dream? Like what is one thing that you would just be so satisfied if it happened in your career?
You know, it's so funny. I just talked to someone else earlier about this. I'm not very ambitious. I know that sounds weird, but I'm not. I don't have like 5-year plans and I don't, you know, go, I don't have like a vision board with an Oscar on it or anything like that. When I got nominated for an Emmy last year, I was like, how did this happen? Because I just don't, you know, I didn't even think anybody at the Academy knew who I was, the Television Academy.
Black Lady Sketch Show.
Yeah.
Say again?
Yeah, our good Black Lady Sketch Show.
Exactly, for Black Lady Sketch Show.
Yeah,
So I don't.
Lacey Mosley is a good friend of ours. He's a good friend. She's actually going to be at our wedding this summer. She's fantastic.
She is so supremely talented. I can't even. But I don't dream like that. So my biggest dream, like if y'all gonna think I'm crazy, I dream of retirement all the time. I dream about having amassed enough nest egg money to buy Hollywood and then what happened to that fluffy head chubby girl that we used to see all the time? What's his name? Yvonne something. I would love to be like Doris Day behind some gate somewhere, you know, feeding my dog and watching, binge watching TV and never heard from again. So I really dream of that peaceful moonwalk out of this career. So I know that sounds crazy, but that's my big dream. Now on the way there, I'd love a sitcom like, you know, Friends or Seinfeld, something that makes a whole bunch of money that I got points for. Like that. But the dream of that is just to get to the Doris Day gated place.
Still the same result.
it's all the result of just being able to retire. So
I said to him the other day, we had a really candid conversation. I said, listen, because I've never been super motivated by money or success. Mm-hmm. I love what I do and I love people.
Yes.
That's why I'm a host. It's why I'm not an actor. I love just like talking to people for a living, right? And I wish I were more motivated. I came from a very humble childhood.
That might be Ohio, too.
But I said to him the other day, I said, listen, because I've always been the one that's like every like 6 months or so, I'm like, I could leave L.A. I'm good. I could go do something somewhere else and I could be comfortable somewhere else. I could live in Colorado or I could live in like a state, like one of the 21 states where I'd feel comfortable as a queer man. But the number is getting smaller and smaller.
Right.
Yeah. But I said to him, when I say this, I mean this completely honestly. If you become my sugar daddy, you start popping, you making all the money, I'll be a stay at home dad. I will cook dinner every night. Mm-hmm. I will like take care of our dog. I don't need the spotlight. I don't need it.
Same.
I've already accomplished some things in my career that I'm hard on myself, but then I look backwards and I'm like, if 18-year-old AJ saw the things you've accomplished, he would have lost his mind and wouldn't have believed any
of it. Right. That's right.
So like, I'm like, I'm at peace. Like I still have big goals, but I'm not going to lose my mind if they don't happen.
Exactly.
Listen, This was a word and exactly what I needed to hear. Right. And again, it was no coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in those. I think it was literally perfect timing.
Wait.
Oh, yeah. AJ, the day of that meeting.
Do you watch Ted Lasso?
Are you kidding me? Of course. You see my hands? Of course. Of course I do. Yeah, yeah. Of course
the
I do.
The day of that meeting. And I still have them on the lights. AJ put signs all over on all of my lights on the fan over here with different quotes. Like over here it says, nothing can dim the light that shines from within you, from Maya Angelou. Stay positive. Like all these positive things.
Be still and know that I am God.
That's right.
So I went into that meeting feeling a certain type of way. But no, this was absolutely fantastic. And, you know, we are going to continue to put out good vibes and good energies and prayers over your life and your career so that you can get closer to that retirement where you can binge watch and you
Doris
can,
Day all day.
You can binge watch and also continue to enjoy. I'm sure you're watching Abbott Elementary. It's the best show.
I love show so, and I love teachers. So that's forget it. It's such a love letter to teachers.
Quinta is just so phenomenal.
It's so great.
And the woman who's the woman, the other teacher, the Italian,
Lisa Ann Walters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cheryl Lee Ralph. I mean, they're just so funny.
The whole show is perfection. I am praying that they call me to come play the school counselor or somebody.
I
would love to be on that show. That show, out of all the ones that are on the air, besides Ted Lasso, but I love Abbott Elementary. I love it so much.
So we're putting that out there. The headline for this is Yvette Nicole Brown wants to co-star on Abbott Elementary.
Period.
Absolutely.
And counsel the children.
It'll be so good. Have you seen that video Quinta posted a few weeks ago, I think? And because they're on hiatus right now. I don't know when this episode's coming out, but they're on hiatus. And it was of the children leaving for the day, but they were calling her by her character name, not by Quinta, because they're young. And it's just so, I love this. Everything it's so, about it's it is just amazing.
Perfect. It's absolutely a perfect show. It's perfect.
And you're a perfect human being. Oh. We love you.
Thanks,
and you're literally, like Emil said, you're always in our prayers.
Yeah.
We hope to see you again in person someday soon.
I'd love it.
But this has been so lovely, and just thank you for being you.
Thank you.
We love you, Beth.
We love you.
Confess your mess.
Confess Your Mess is a Straw Hut Media podcast produced by Ryan Tillotson and Frank Driscoll. Thank you so much for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and share.
And if you have a secret you want to share, go to confessyourmess.us to submit. Your secret could end up in the show.
Ooh.